The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, I Rewind, Tribe on the Other Side. Look, I know for most of us, handshakes and fist bumps are off our menu, but you can still get a high five when you go to Black Rock Bar and Grill. That's because you can get the Black Rock High Five Combo, available now for just $15.99. High Five features 5 ounces of Black Rock Signature Sirloin, 5 savory shrimp, brought to you on a 755-degree piece of volcanic stone, and served with your 2 favorite sides. So that means you grill it to perfection, the steak and the shrimp, grill it to perfection at your table. And then after you eat, or while you're eating and you're talking, you're having a conversation, your food cools down, you throw it right back on that stone, heat it up to temp. Every bite is like the first bite. That is the Black Rock difference. So you can turn up volume on dinner tonight with a High Five Combo at Black Rock Bar and Grill, 3776 South State Street in Ann Arbor, where parking is ample and free, even on game day. So, Mr. Weintraub, getting back to the topic, you know, I don't want to take up all the oxygen in the room. My position on this, I'm curious where you fall. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
I completely understand where you're coming from. And, you know, in our society of, you know, innocent before proven guilty is very difficult to, you know, when you're trying to get to a resolution when people involved are no longer alive, right? So you can't, there's going to be only a certain amount of resolution in this, because there are, between Bo and Anderson and Canham and others, they can't answer questions. And so there's only so much that we're going to get. And my stance on this is, I'm not here to attack Bo or defend Bo. My thing is, I don't know how you can just full throw to defend Bo. That's my point, is nobody has all the information. There's not a single person alive right now, nobody, that has all the information. And so anybody that comes out and says, Bo definitely didn't know, or Canham definitely didn't know, or what, you don't know that. Like, even people close to them do not know that for sure. There's no guarantees. And so, to me, and we had this conversation when the thing happened at Penn State, I'm not making the comparison between the two. I'm just saying the full-throated, blind defenses of Joe Paterno from people that didn't necessarily, I'm not saying that people that are defending Bo didn't read the reports or whatever. My point is, people ignore it or don't care. And it just becomes this defense of people that they have respect for their own reasons. And I don't want to take those away. Your reasons, whoever you are, that you revere Bo, that's fine. That's great. And that's your personal story. But your story has nothing to do with the victims. Your story has nothing to do. And so people that are coming to the full-throated defense of Bo and saying that he did not know and speaking in absolutes, you cannot speak in absolutes. There's no absolute here. And that is, I'm not saying, because you talked about there are people that have told their stories, and some of these people are flawed people. We've had this conversation about many other stories in the past too. There are flawed people that tell stories. Sometimes those stories prove to be very flawed, and sometimes their stories prove to be very true. But we don't know, because there are other people involved in this that are no longer alive. So it comes back to me, I'm not going to go on a full on attack on anybody until we get as much information as possible. I'm trying to learn as much as I can without coming to an opinion, because we don't have all the facts. And then you can't actually, in theory, you're not supposed to have your opinion until you have all the facts. And I'm not sure we're going to get them. My concern is that people go full on in either direction. So as I said, in either direction, full on attack Bo, full on defend Bo. But how? You don't have the information to do either of those things. There's people telling their story about what they told Bo, and that's very important to know, and we're going to continue to parse that information as we go through the reports and more Wilmer Hale information comes out, et cetera. But on the flip side, people have said, Bo definitely didn't know. How do you know? There's no way you know that. Even family, you do not know that. And so the full-throated attacks and the full-throated defenses are both, they're misplaced, because we don't have enough information. You can go on with the information we've learned so far and, you know, kind of read and figure out who you know, which stories. But as you said, Sam, there are a lot of stories.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
So even if one story feels, or two stories might feel a little flawed to you, do 50, do right. 100, do 200? To me, they don't. And some of these stories, and as I've talked to some of the people, that are involved, that are alleged victims of Dr. Anderson. Not even alleged. We know that there are victims of Dr. Anderson at this point. They, you know, when they tell their stories, I'm listening closely, and I know some of these people, and these are hard stories. There's a story about a former player who's now very sick with cancer, and he distrusts doctors because of Dr. Anderson. And if he didn't distrust doctors, he might have gotten this cancer caught way earlier and may not be as sick as he is. Like, there's a lot of stories that are out there. And so I have a really hard time with people going on the attack on the victims, because there are definite victims in this, because it has been accepted by people, including the university, that Dr. Anderson did, in fact, do these things. Now, the specifics of that are obviously need to be figured out, as you've said. So I'm having a really hard time with the story, because we are still in absence of information. That some of it's out there in, like, the Wilmer Hare, you know, there's other information that we just haven't seen and other stories that we haven't heard.
Yeah, look, I think you gotta, from a personal standpoint, Michigan maybe collectively is doing this, has done it already. You have to deal in what's likely. What's likely? What's the most likely thing to have happened? Because as you said, you have the absence of people around anymore with knowledge of those events as they happen that can speak to what they were told and when it was told to them and how they reacted, how they responded. They can't. You're absolutely right. And people who point that out are absolutely right. So you are left to make a judgment call. And there's a danger in elevating any single story. And that's what's being done here. And look, I understand. I said last week, talking to some lawyers, they said this was going to get ugly. That there is in cases like these, there is a public aspect to them that's part of the, you know, part of the restitution process, right? That it's part of establishing, it's part of establishing, for lack of a better term, part of establishing the figures, the monetary figures. It's just part of the process. I'm charging that to the game. That this is the kind of thing that you're gonna have. Problem with last week, though, is it accomplished what it was supposed to by putting Matt Schimbeckler's name out front. You had ESPN, you had all of the national publications latching back onto the story, right? Because Bo's son is making this accusation. The problem with that is that if you look at his individual story, you do. That's why I asked Dan Murphy the question, like, man, this I'm trying to get this to add up, that before he coaches a game, he can make an accusation, or he can tell his boss what to do. He can tell his boss, we're going to keep this guy because I said so. That doesn't seem likely to me. But that's one case. That's one case. That doesn't speak to all of the other cases, all of the other accusations that are out there. So is it likely that many people are not telling the truth about this? Is it likely that many people have fabricated things, fabricated happenings, or, you know, is it likely that many people are only realizing now that they were abused? And I know that some of these people, that doesn't discount their experience. I mean, you know, maybe they go back and they realize this, man, that was the cause of a lot of things that happened to me in my life. But is it likely that that's everyone? I don't think so. There are too many other accusers for it to be likely that they're all making this up. That they're all, you know, they all have questionable timelines. I don't think that I think it's unlikely that they all, or even that most of them do. Of course, there are going to be some of them. Law of averages says that that's true. That you're going to have some people in the mix their stories aren't as credible as others. But even if you discount those people, there's still a lot of accusers in there. Too many, in my assessment, to discount what they're saying, to discount the likelihood of what they're saying. That's all we can deal in right now is likelihood. And you have to make a judgment call. So, again, I gave you my beliefs. I believe that this, within the context of the times, there were accusations about the transgressions of Robert Anderson that were minimized, that weren't taken seriously because it's treatment. This is not something to be, you know, raising a big fuss over. There's some people being too sensitive. I think that that is likely the case in that time. And just because that's not covering it up doesn't mean that there isn't culpability, because that, ignoring it, perpetuates the crime too. Perpetuates the abuse too. And so you gotta, like I said, the best you can to make it right. And then on top of that, putting systems in place so we aren't down the line some other revered figure be publicly revered or professionally revered. You look at him and down the line and say, man, this was going on all that time and no one knew. It wasn't elevated to the level of seriousness that was appropriate to stop the transgressions from occurring. That to me is the most important thing moving forward. So I'm just not as caught up in, I wasn't caught up in the press conference last week at all. I think that's a part of the process right now. And I think there's a danger in getting too specific about one specific case and extrapolating meaning from that and applying it to all of the other accusations that are out there. That's that one case, which I would say does have some flaws in it, some very clear flaws in it. But that doesn't discount everything else that everyone else is saying, in my opinion. So we will certainly take your opinions throughout the morning at 734-998-1050. You can tweet us at Michigan Insider. You can email us at studio@wtka.com. There was an email that said, oh, are you guys going to ignore this story? When have we ignored this story? At what point have you seen us ignore this story? And it's like, you know, people want you to be just to come out flaming hot as they are. When I think being measured is more appropriate for something so serious. Being measured and taking some time to not only look at the details of the report, to talk to people about it that have been through it. I mean, I talked to a player a couple of days ago who is a part of the case, who is a victim of this abuse, who is also saying, hey, this is not on Bo. And I get that. And I said to him, I get that that was your experience, and I'm not telling you to feel any other way. I'm saying that how can we say that some of your brethren, some of your fellow players, that they're not being truthful about their experiences? That many of your brethren, a lot of them, who are saying, hey, they went through this. I mean, can you say that every one of them is lying? Because I would think that if that were the case, then their teammates would certainly be around to say something about that, right? And I don't hear many teammates coming out saying that these guys who are, and you know, the players know who's a part of this case. Players know. And I don't hear many players coming out calling out these guys. They might call out some of them, but enough of them to say, this is a farce. Certainly haven't heard that. They certainly aren't coming out publicly until now, until Jim Brandstetter did. And that was only about Matt Schimbeckler. That wasn't about any other accuser. And we aren't talking about a player there. I mean, players are in locker rooms together, right? They talk to one another, right? If they are making up their experiences, then their teammates would have some idea, would they not? Don't hear any teammates coming out saying, nah, this is not true. So that's another thing that, you know, in fitting with the time that, hey, these players that are part of, you know, part of this pool of accusers aren't being challenged by their teammates publicly. They aren't being challenged by their teammates in a visible way, even in an anonymous sort of way. Haven't heard it yet. That's suggestive of something, if not knowledge of something happening, suggestive of them questioning, like, oh man, maybe something was going on that I didn't know about then. At least suggestive of that. So, like I said, man, this is one that you can't be definitive on. You can only talk about what you believe and why you believe it, and talk about how you think Michigan needs to proceed. And right now, I think they're proceeding in the appropriate fashion, to the extent that my beliefs offended anyone on either side. There are some people who say, oh, man, this is ridiculous. Nothing happened. You're allowing for a guy's reputation to be impugned and integrity to be impugned. I can only offer you my belief. Apologies if that offends you. To folks on the other side who say, oh, well, you know, you are unwilling to acknowledge the cover-up. They knew this was going on, and they just said, you know, it's more important, the name, the stadium, the games, the figure, that's more important than victims, and they just swept it under the rug. And to those who feel so passionately that a cover-up was executed here, apologies to you if my beliefs offend you. You know, can only share with you, like I said, how I piece this together. I believe that there was a lack of seriousness, that these weren't treated seriously, and as a result, their abuse was perpetuated, and now here we are, trying to light the way forward with mediation with the accusers, with the victims, and then processes in place as an institution, and not just an athlete. This is not just an athletics thing. This is bigger than Michigan football, bigger than Michigan athletics, and should be treated as such. And sounds like it is in the beginning stages of being treated like that anyway, with how they conduct themselves when it comes to oversight moving forward. So that's where we are. Rough segue. We're gonna transition to the recruiting roundup on the other side. If you're going to get in phone calls, emails, or tweets in the 8 o'clock hour on this topic, you will be free to. In the meantime, in between time, we'll get to some recruiting on the other side as the Wolverines picked up a transfer. Talked about it in the earlier portion of the show, the process that led up to Daylon Baldwin committing to Michigan. Now we're going to get into the projected impact of Daylon Baldwin. We'll get to that in the recruiting roundup on the other side here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.